Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Rappaport to the rescue with award-winning animal advocate Jill Rappaport.
Welcome to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport, and my guest today, Burke Floyd, is truly a Renaissance man extraordinaire. Wait till you hear his list of credits. I am exhausted just reading them. Okay, he's been in 33 films, 28 TV shows / series, 9 theater productions, 8 national commercials. He's an actor, director, producer, musician, stuntman, husband, father. But the title that resonates with me the most is he is an animal lover extraordinaire. He's devoted so much of his life to rescue and adoption. His animals are also his children. And did I also mention that Burke just happens to have over 1 million Instagram followers? No shock with all these wonderful credits. And I am so thrilled to have you here. Did I get all the credits in, or are there more?
I've never heard them. I could dig a hole. I'm so embarrassed. It's humbling that anyone invites me to do anything, let alone act. And so I'm very, very blessed. Yes.
Well, in your young age, and you are a young man, you have done an extraordinary amount of work in all facets of the entertainment industry. And when I read the list and I recognized the movies and your co-stars and everything you've done, wow, what haven't you done and what's left to tackle?
You know what? There's so much to do in the world, right? And that is such a cool thing that we can always be better if we work on ourselves. We can always try to be better tomorrow than we were yesterday. And in doing that, we always discover, if you're willing and open to find it, you can always discover opportunities to do incredible things. And the power of being able to say yes to things is probably one of the greatest gifts I could ever have. And so I have no idea what might be next, but I would love to play a father on a series. I would love to be able to be Phil Dunphy on Modern Family or something like that. You know, I mean, who wouldn't? But, you know, that kind of thing would be professionally would be a great thing.
So. And I'm surprised with all your acting credits that you haven't done that yet.
Well, yeah, you know, so I took a long break from acting. I took over a decade off from acting after a family, had a loss in the family. And so while it would be, and while it does cross my mind on occasion to think about the opportunities that I may have missed, I really, because of that, I really try to look at all the things that I was able to be a part of due to having taken that break. And you know, another thing, and this is, I live by this statement, I truly, truly do. There are two things where I am so grateful for animals in my life. There are a million things where I am, but there are two pillars where I am grateful for animals in my life. For my future self, I'm grateful for animals because it's really simple for me to think about trying to be a better person. And that is that I try to be the person my dog thinks I am.
Yes.
And so that's an easy way.
Yes.
That's it, right? That's an easy, put it in your pocket, pull it out when you want to get angry at somebody, you know, or you want to do something where you want to be, it's easy to be like, would your dog accept that? No. So let's not be that guy.
It's so funny that you mentioned that saying, because I found a pillow with that exact saying, be the person your dog thinks you are. And I actually sent it to Oprah after I was so fortunate enough to appear on her show. And when you think about what that says, be the person your dog thinks you are, they look at us, we're perfection. We can do no wrong. So be that person, right?
Be that person. And you know, it's unachievable. But try to be that person, because you're right. We are perfection to them, which is a gift and a responsibility and all of that. And so that's the pillar that I use for myself in the present and looking at the future. And in the past, when I look back at how animals have impacted me, supported me, shown me that unconditional love when I was unaware that it existed, I think that none of the things that I have been able to be a part of, or the successes I've had, or any of that would have happened had I not been exposed and given the unconditional love that comes from having animals regularly in your life.
And you've rescued forever. You've had so many rescue dogs, right?
I mean, yes. I mean, I can't even tell you. And I mean, the ones that you foster, so many. I've been able to keep and have many, 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 over a dozen that I was able to keep throughout their entire course of their lifespan. But as far as fostering, it's never to her chagrin, but my wife is often like, ah, yep. This, I mean, you know, she's just like, oh, sure. Yeah, you got a couple dogs that you found? Great. All right. I will say this. My son, our son, Luca Bear, who is now 11.
He I love that name.
The bear is the dog whisperer. Jill, we were in Missouri visiting my in-laws. We're driving down. It's just the three of us. And we're driving in this very, very out of the way, four lane back road kind of thing. And there was this pickup truck in front, squeals its tires, smoke up and everywhere. We all stop. It's very few cars on the road. And there is this beautiful Pyrenees in the road. So I pull over. It is a high-speed trafficked road.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to corral this dog. I'm trying to herd this dog to make sure that it doesn't dart back in. Off the highway. My son opens the back door of this rental car and sticks his head out. And he's, I think he was eight at the time, and sticks his head out and is like, Dad, Dad, you know, he's a little panicked himself. Dad, dog looks up, sees my son, runs down the shoulder of the road and hops into the back seat of the car.
Oh my goodness. Is he part of your family now? This dog?
No, we were able to locate his owners who were frantically looking for him. You know, granted, and I'm not going to lie to you, Jill, if he was, we would have loved it. He was the sweetest thing, but he looked well cared for. He looked well fed. And it was one of those where you do want to drive to find the owners to see, to make sure, also to make sure that they're okay. Right.
Right.
And after about an hour, we did find the owners who were frantically searching for him. And we were so happy to have him find his home. We absolutely, as we were driving away, we're like, man, that's a great dog.
You would have kept him too. And what a wonderful life lesson for your children. I mean, they've grown up with this, obviously, with you and your wife. It's embedded in their souls and yours to help an animal and give it the best life possible.
That's right. By the way, I think Dobie McGuire, my dog right now, who is a rescue, I believe he hears that we are speaking of other dogs, and he's circling me in his dogdom to make sure that I speak about how sweet Dobie McGuire is.
When did you rescue him?
8 weeks. He was relieved from his other domicile by the police.
Oh my goodness. Unbelievable. What a wonderful story of adoption and rescue. Besides the dogs, from everything I've read about you, you literally grew up in a saddle before you could walk.
That is exactly right. I grew up, I had my birth parents until I was 8 and 10. At 10, I was no longer with my birth parents. I entered the foster care system. But I do remember prior to them passing, when I was 5, when I was very, very young, them regularly telling people, oh yeah, he sat a saddle before he learned to walk. And I actually don't recall a time. I don't remember learning to ride. I remember having some opportunities to receive some coaching and to develop my skill set as a rider, but I don't remember ever learning to ride or to mount a horse. Do you know what I mean? Those things, those were like, you don't remember. I don't remember learning to walk either. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
I truly don't remember the first time I sat a horse. I don't remember any awe or shock upon meeting a horse because I was just around them wherever. And they are in the fabric of who I am. And I cannot tell you, the Seen Through Horses campaign is probably one of the greatest gifts I've ever had. And our mutual friend Chantel is the reason why I'm a part of that. And I know you are as well. And it's just, I cannot speak highly enough for how impactful the love, empathy, and compassion a horse can have on the human heart and the human spirit.
So true.
And how much encouragement you can get from these beautiful, incredible, brilliant animals. There are people that will pay big money to swim with dolphins. And I love dolphins. Don't get me wrong. I love marine life. I love all animals. I mean, I can't pretend that I love them all. But you know, it's like when people in shock and awe talk about swimming with dolphins, I'm like, you know, there's a horse ranch around the corner. And if you just went there, you would have that exact same experience with a much larger animal, in fact. And you know, I mean, and I'm not knocking swimming with dolphins. I'm not, but I mean, it's like these things, horses are incredible, brilliant animals. I wouldn't be here without them.
You and I have such an incredible bond to these majestic creatures. And this campaign, Seen Through Horses, which is coming up again in May, really delves into the sole purpose, how they connect with us emotionally, and the joy and the feeling to make us better human beings, happier human beings because of horses in our lives.
Yes. And you, as the brilliant journalist, probably did it on purpose, but me as the dad just heard it. Sole purpose, S-O, the homonym of it, the soul.
Right.
As well. It's so true. And Seen Through Horses, that you're right. That's part of my favorite part of the campaign is that, and it is coming back up again. Probably my favorite part of the campaign is that it lets us as human beings who have had that experience share our personal experience, because that's what it is to have a horse in your life. Even for a moment, it can be such a personal experience for each individual. And can truly, and man, they know when you're struggling. I will tell you, they do. People don't realize it until they get around them. I mean, they sense your vulnerability, and they will, even if you're faking it, you can't fake it around a horse, man. They know when storms are coming, and they know when storms are brewing in you.
And they can feel everything from the top of your head to the bottom of your foot, the energy that you're putting yes. out there. They can feel it when you're on them, next to them. You know, they can look at you. They can sense the way you pet them, what you're feeling at that moment. It's truly incredible.
It's incredible.
I know, as a person who's been in the saddle since before you could walk, you've had opportunities in your career to be on the horses, around the horses. I would imagine those projects have been the ones that are closest to your heart.
They absolutely are. You are not wrong, young lady. I will tell you, when I did Gods and Generals, it was a prequel to Gettysburg.
With Robert Duvall.
With Duvall, yeah, with Bobby Duvall.
A friend of mine, I'm honored to say.
I love that. Well, you know what? When you speak to him next, I don't know if he'll remember this story. It's my favorite story in my career, because it means the most to me.
Right.
I was riding my horse for that movie, and I groomed and rode Topper every day, even, you know, obviously even on my off days, because for a few reasons. One, it was a gorgeous, majestic, amazing, incredible animal, and I just wanted to spend some time with him. But also, we did have a rearing stop stunt that we were going to be doing, amongst a couple of others, but we had this rearing stop stunt that we were going to be doing on my last day of production. And so I just wanted him to know, you know, I wanted to know him. I wanted to get his vibe and how he handled certain situations and where he looked for footing and things like that. So I'd never put him at risk or anything like that, but I would just groom him and ride him every day. And we were going through the hills, riding through a trail. And as often happens, we caught a little loss. You know, he missed a foot once, and I leaned in and over, and I'm a bigger guy, and I was able to, instead of giving up and kicking away from him, I stuck with him. I grabbed the horn and I gave him his head because he missed his footing. So I gave him his head and I pushed against the horn. I just threw my body against the opposite direction of that lost foot and was like, "You're coming with me. We're both going to hiccup to here till you get your feet."
Right.
And then I rode him over and I got off and I checked him and made sure he was okay. Right. And then remounted and then rode back up. And I was going to take him now immediately. Obviously, I'm taking him in now because I'm going to, you know, let him cool off. And I want to really give him a really good look over and make sure he's okay, which he was. But I get up to the top and Bobby Duvall, Mr. Duvall, is sitting there. And I guess he had been watching. I didn't know this. I said, Mr. Duvall, and he goes, "Oh, no. You call me Bobby, son. Horsemen call me Bobby. You're a horseman."
Wow. Talk about the ultimate compliment. For an actor from one of the greatest actors of all time.
Of all time. I didn't know what to say. I just didn't know what to say. I was just, you know, no. Horsemen call me Bobby, son, and you're a horseman.
You know, I featured Robert Duvall. I went to his incredible farm in Virginia.
And Charlottesville.
Yeah, in my book, People We Know, Horses They Love. And he is, if you've seen him ride, it is poetry in motion.
You know what? His tango, the fact that he is brilliant at tango makes absolute perfect sense to me.
Right.
Because riding is a tango. It takes two to tango. Riding is a partnership. It is. And you know what? If you think you're leading, you should probably have a conversation with your horse. It's a tango and it's a dance and it's choreography. And his brilliance at the tango and in that movie, by the way, it's so brilliant in that movie. But he is, I mean, he is poetry in motion. His ability, his trust and his confidence in the partner that he has while he is saddled is bar none one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. And I grew up in Virginia and knew that I thought it was so cool that he had a horse farm in
with a
in
tango barn, by the
with
way.
With a tango, but yes, that's right, in the back. That's right.
Which he shares with his beautiful and talented wife, Luciana, who is also an incredibly accomplished rider and a tango dancer extraordinaire. They're just amazing human beings. And I love the way people can't see your face light up, but I can. You're just literally just on fire talking about this compliment from the great Robert Duvall about your horsemanship. And meanwhile, what about acting with him? You've acted with some of the greatest people in your career.
You know what? Bobby Duvall is an oak. When he acts, he is so honest and it's so cool because he doesn't have to turn it on and turn it off or anything. He is just so honest in what he is delivering between action and cut. And then as the character, and then after cut, when he's back to being Bobby, he's so honest just being Bobby.
And if he loves it, he'll tell you. And if he hates it, he's going to
tell you. And and you're just like, who could ask for anything more than the honest truth from a character in a performance or from an icon on a set? Exactly. I mean, nobody's done it better than him. Several have done it as well. Anthony Hopkins, and I've been fortunate to work with so many of them. Anthony Hopkins and Tom Cruise. And Tom Cruise is similar to Bobby in the fact that he will also tell you very directly what was wrong with it and what needs to be. And he'll also give you the pat on the back, which, you know, getting a pat on the back from somebody like Bobby Duvall puts you in the ground, man. I mean, it's just like, okay, I'm good. I'm all right. It'll melt you. You'll just turn to a puddle. Or at least I did.
Well, I love that you also mentioned Tom Cruise, who you worked with. And it's amazing because I had a chance to interview him a few times. And I found him to be a very wonderful, kind human being who actually led to one of my biggest breaks in television by granting me an interview. It's a very funny story. I was auditioning for a job local WCBS Channel 2. And they said to me, well, there's a big event happening in Manhattan with Tom Cruise. And he was then married to Mimi Rogers. And he was going to be at an art gallery opening. And they said, Jill, you get that interview, you get the job. So I said, oh, piece of cake, no worries. I'm thinking Tom Cruise, he had just come off of Top Gun. He was at the height of his career. And they were having this very private event in Manhattan. So I show up with the crew. There must have been 75 outlets there trying to get the interview. This is way before social media. It was all about television, getting the interview. And literally everybody's extended arm with the microphone, Tom, Tom, Tom. And I'm in the back of the line and I'm screaming for him like everybody else. I said, Tom, please, my job depends on it. And he turned around, stopped, and walked over to me and gave me the interview. He's just such a mensch, right?
You are right. I love Tom. I love Tom. And I will tell you, I try to tell people, like, he is such a pro. He knows how to do anything and everything on a film.
tell us about the project.
So I worked on Minority Report with Tom. We shot for a long time at Universal, which was so cool because I will tell you, I love Universal Studios. When I was young and a foster kid, I remember seeing Webster and Webster's Family. Webster was a sitcom that shot on the lot at Universal, and Emmanuel Lewis played a foster kid in it who ends up being adopted and by his godparents. In one of the episodes, they took a vacation to Hollywood, air quotes, vacation to Hollywood, because they shot there. And the entire vacation, again, air quotes, was them running around the back lot of Universal. And he runs into Michael Knight from Knight Rider and meets Kit and all of these things, and horses, by the way, in that episode too, which meant a lot to me as well because of Old West World in Universal. But in any case, we shot on Universal, which was just a dream come true, and with Tom. And he was so great. He was so gracious, and he just knew how every element, he didn't try to do every job. He didn't try to tell everyone how to do their job. It wasn't that. It was just watching him be such a pro and so prepared, and to see him truly know how every job worked. And he knew, and why it mattered was to him, was that so he could do his job in a way that made all the other jobs easier and better, and made for a better movie. And at one point we were in Washington. This part happened in Washington, D.C. We also shot in D.C. some parts of it, and in Suffolk, Virginia, too, which was fun to be in Virginia shooting a movie. But we were at Crafty grabbing a coffee. He had actually gotten a coffee cart for everybody. And we were at this coffee cart, and he walks up, and I'm like, oh, man, there's Tom. And, you know, I'm like trying to turn to walk. You know what I mean? I just, you know, I was like, what are, you know, and I'd been working with him. He was, you know, it's, but he said, hey, Burke. It's like, oh, man. Yeah. Hey, what's up, Tom? He goes, hey, I was just curious. I'm an observer of people. I study people. You give me this thumbs up all the time, and you only really give it to me. I was like, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm apologizing for thumbs up, Jill. I was a kid, you know. I'm like, I'm sorry. Oh, well, you know. He's like, no, I'm not upset with you, man. There's not. I was just wondering, curious if you, because I study people, I'm curious if you know if it's conscious or not, if there's a reason. And I go, oh, no, there's not. That's interesting. Really? Goes, yeah, that's cool. And don't even worry about it. I was like, all right, Tom. And I gave him a thumbs up. Hand to God. I really did. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there it is.
He goes, yeah, stop.
I can't stop. So I'm thinking, you know, that's so funny. So then fast forward about a year, a little over a year, and we are at the premiere, and someone comes over to me, one of Tom's assistants comes up to, you know, the person, my wrangler, if you will, as we're walking in. You know how that goes. I know you know how that goes, because I'm doing the step and repeat or whatever. And my wrangler, one of his assistants, talks to the wrangler and hands her something, and she sends it off to the car. So I don't even really keep up with what's going on. You know, I just, after the premiere, I get back in the car. I'm back in the car to take me home. And in the back of the car with me is this tube and a little card from Tom. And I get home and I open the tube, and there's the poster that had been on my wall when I was a little kid of him in Top Gun in the cockpit giving the thumbs up.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. So, you know, a guy of his stature to take the time to put that together because of that gesture you made, that says everything.
Just says like everything.
When he came over to me, heard that this would literally, my career depends on it, and he made a difference, right?
Your listeners can't see. I literally have tears in my eyes right now at your story, Jill, because that is who Tom Cruise is. It's what his heart is that somebody said, my job depends on it. And he hears that and says, I hear the honesty in that. And I flat refuse to be the guy that walks away when somebody says they need help and is willing to say, this doesn't work for me if you don't help. I love the guy. I love the guy. And I love that you and I both have a connection like that, a personal connection to him.
So should we both give him a thumbs up right now?
100%. I do. Hey, you know what? There are a couple of things I do every night. I kiss my kids. I love on my dog before I go to bed. I say my prayers. And going forward, I'm going to give thumbs ups to Tom Cruise.
But you know, you're so amazing to me because your life started out very good until it wasn't. And to be put in the foster care system having known parents, known a home, and all of a sudden, nothing. And then to turn out the way you did with so much, so many blessings. What do you attribute to that?
You know, I think foundationally, you said it best, is that I did know a home and I did know what that could be. And between blessings and good fortune, and I think those two are a commonality in my book, but, and I think because I was able to continue to spend time with horses in part because the foster care program had that as an opportunity. And then I was in Scouts, in the Boy Scouts of America. And so I always had a skill set with them. And so it was easy for me to find work, even if it was volunteer. It was easy for me to be able to get onto a ranch. You know what I mean?
And right, you had the experience.
And have the experience with them. And I think it starts with a crack in a heart that's made of stone. You know what I mean? And that's sort of what horses will do for you. And I mean, it's my personal experience. And so others can say or think of this as an attempt at some sort of fairy tale thing, but it isn't. Those that want it to be, or for those that would dismiss this anecdote and this part of my life as some sort of fairy tale childhood imagination, I encourage them to spend a moment with some horses and see what it does for them, because it is, it's just a magical thing. And I think that I need this for my job thing, right? Horses, you have this responsibility to these creatures, these majestic animals that you care for. And so you get up every day to go do that. It gives you purpose and it gives you a connection, a true connection. So,
you know, what's amazing to me though, not only horses, but when you consider animals in general and shelter animals, your life has paralleled. And sadly, the hundreds and thousands and millions of stories of shelter animals in general who have known a life, known a home, all of a sudden were left without that security, put into foster, put into shelters, hoping to find that home again. Do you think because of what you went through as a child, that that is the reason you are so in tune with animals in need?
I think so. Yes, I do. I've thought about it. Have you ever tried to pinpoint where that compulsion inside of you ever came from, whence it came? I've tried to pinpoint it and I can never get far enough in to find it. So a part of me thinks maybe I also just have loved, I've always had the gift of having amazing animals around me. And so I give myself a little Tarzanish vibe from, you know, like a little bit raised by wolves kind of vibe of, you know, maybe like my son, like how he just is with animals, that it was just sewn into the fabric of who I am.
As I said from the beginning of the podcast, the thing that resonated with me the most is your love and your commitment to animals in need and the message that you are sending out with your children to help them, to save them, and to really take care of them for the rest of their lives, which is what they deserve. And I so appreciate you for that.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to even talk about it and just to spend some time with you. You're electric. And your book might be one of the greatest coffee table books of all time. And I say that because so many coffee table books are about a cover that sits on a coffee table. And yours, you cannot help but pick it up. And then it becomes a conversation piece. Like, that's what a coffee table book should be, is that you get to pick it up and the people that you're sitting in your living room with, you can pass it around and start. It's got so many brilliantly famous people in it and beautiful photographs, and the stories are electric. And I love your book so much. It's such a great
book. Oh, wow. What an ultimate compliment. And my sister, Linda Solomon, did all the photography.
She's your sister? Oh my gosh.
Yes,
wow.
She's so talented. And the title was so basic. And at first we weren't sure about it. People We Know, Horses They Love, but that's exactly what it is, right?
You can't help but pick it up.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure. Your career and your heart, you're just amazing. And continued success in all the venues that you are working in. But most important, continue your wonderful work with animals in need. And I'm so honored to have you on Rappaport to the Rescue. And I hope you enjoyed this wonderful show. And please remember to open up your homes and your heart to an animal in need.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.